chapter 6, and then later we're going to look at Psalms 37. So start in Matthew chapter 6 as we continue speaking on prayer. And that prayer that's too often called the Lord's Prayer, we've already seen that the Lord has never prayed it. It's a sample prayer He's given to us. And some of y'all, if you can smell the food down in the building, I know you ain't listening to me one word. Everybody's stomach already going crazy? All right, well, let me also share. Someone's asking about the auction. If you're wanting a pew and you don't want to stay until 2:30, I'll do the dirty work for you. You write down what pew number and your max bid, and I'll put that on there at 2:30 just if I put your max bid as the first bid. Don't get upset. I'm not eBay. Now, I didn't explain the bids as well. We're just raising a little bit of funds, making it kind of a fun way. Raise a little bit of funds to offset the $21,000 that we are spending. And give you the few that you want. Some are fighting over just a couple pews. But let's have some fun with this. And dive into God's Word first is more important. Because even the title today makes you a little bit hungry, Daily Bread. You know, when I take groups to Brazil on missions trips, the one thing, food-wise, they can fully fall in love with, the food in Brazil is fantastic. I mean, that's where I became a football player. Not soccer. Their food's good, but one of their things is their bread. They've got the best bread I've ever tasted. And then we've tried to copy it here and just can't make it. I don't know what the deal is. But it's fantastic. And so when I go on my trips to Brazil by myself, as you know, I'm working and planning and praying that I get to go in November to finalize some stuff that my brother is there. Bread. I want steak. Because I'm like, ooh. So look at this sample prayer. Let's remember that this that we are reading is not a prayer in of itself. It's a sample. It's an example for us to pray. And we saw already that Jesus tells us to make our prayers fresh. Not repetitive. We're not to pray someone else's prayer. Don't get a prayer book and read a prayer. God wants an intimacy from you. That's why He says to go into your closet and pray. Because it's just you and Him. Pour out your heart to Him. I've been asked by a few if it's okay to quote this prayer. Yeah, definitely. It's Scripture. It's always good to memorize and to quote Scripture because we hide God's Word in our heart this way. Now, don't worry, Miss Linda, I'm just turning the fan on. You can watch my finger here. She gets it. Sometimes you're here. Somebody messed with this thing. Right? And so we will pray parts of it simply in our intimate times with God. And today we're going to arrive at the most popular portion of Scripture. The portion, our most popular portion of this sample prayer. Finances, direction, comfort, peace. And all those things are important, aren't they? All those things should be carried to God in prayer, because we've seen in all things by prayer and supplication, make your request be known to God. He tells us all things. However, we must pray in context, as Jesus has taught us in this passage of Scripture. First, we so need to remember who we pray to, our Father who art in heaven, the one above all else, the one who has power out of this world. We also looked at remembering who He is, His awesomeness, hallowed or holy. Be your name. We also should desire that he reigns, thy kingdom come. And we should desire that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Amen. A lot of times you want to skip over that. God, do my will. Let me be in charge. Let me tell you how it should be. But we got to pray in context. Put him in his rightful position on the throne as our loving God. And notice so far in Jesus' sample prayer, it's not about us at all, is it? You notice that? You ever stopped and just had a prayer that was a time of worship? You ever had prayer that was not at all about bringing any requests to God? Just because, God, you're worthy. Thank you for this, for that, for the other. Thank you for being God. Thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you for allowing me to approach your throne. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, by the way, not about me, Lord. I just want to humble myself before you. Amen. That's not real popular, is it? Shouldn't we do that? We should. Because remember, even if God would never offer us salvation, you with me? He's still worthy of prayer. He's still worthy of praise. He's still worthy of worship, no matter what's going on in your life. So, the prayer is not about us. The prayer is completely in remembering that we are submissive and obedient to God. Prayer is a privilege to approach a holy and omnipotent God as our Father. Remember we talked about that? The privilege to approach God as our Father. That God loved us so much that he gave us the privilege, you with me? To call him, remember the word? Abba. Meaning, how awesome that is. And so today, there's a small portion that appears to be about us. And it kind of is. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, let's do it as we have been doing. And the verses are going to be on the board, the wall behind me. And let's read together. I'll read the odd numbers. If you will read the even numbers off of the screen so we're out of the same version. And verse 9 starts like this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And deliver us from evil. Read the rest of this with me. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we are allowed to approach your throne as our Daddy. And Lord, I ask that you would bless this time of preaching, that our hearts are soft and have a desire to be transformed. If there's anyone here that cannot approach you as Daddy yet, they would come to recognize their sinfulness and place their faith in your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. You noticed in the reading as of today, the prayer is now about our dependence on God. First, it was a recognition of him and who he is and his authority. Now it's about our dependence on him. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll break that up in a couple pieces. The first part, as we see, is the plea. You notice the plea? Give us. Give us. That's a popular term. If you're a daddy, you're going to know pretty soon, brother. Daddy, give me 20 bucks. Give me the car keys. Any other parents with me? Yeah? Jason, what are you smiling about? You're already hearing it, ain't you? Huh? Give us. You know, in English, words just sound so demanding. And the truth is, in America, we have an entitlement problem, don't we? You have the right to everything. Anything you claim and anything you want. When I was working in St. Louis in the inner city type area, I learned more of what is given away and expected than I ever thought I would have seen. You have the right to an education. Okay? You You have a right to food. Mm? You have a right to comfort. Mm? Do you know you have a right to have a cell phone? Well, you can get those for free too. TV, internet. You see? Now, there's no problem with helping people out, is there? I hope we have a desire to help people, to have a need, to encourage, and to build. But the truth is, the only right that we have should come because of the work we do. Not because someone hands it to us, right? Now don't get mad now. Okay, why? The 2 Thessalonians tells us, if any would not work, neither should he eat. How about you? You know I like to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, honestly, I'm glad someone else said amen. The fat man in the house ain't the only one that needs to say he likes to eat. Okay, but the Bible says there's a process of that should be followed. You grow. That's when you receive. You work, and then you earn. You can receive. It's funny when Americans travel the world. If you've never been out of the country or heard some of what Americans do outside the country, one of the funniest phrases you ever hear an American say outside the U.S. is, I have my rights. That's cute. That's cute. That works in America. But in most places, that just sounds stupid. Just to be honest with you, okay? We haven't earned or don't deserve anything that others have to give to us. Even the Declaration of Independence tells us that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Even here, we're not told that we have the right to be given them, but to pursue. It's not an entitlement. It cannot demand these things from someone else. You with me? If you tell me, and I've heard it, that you can't be happy because I don't use the right pronoun, your happiness is dependent upon my action. Sorry, you won't be happy. Right? Give us. We take it in context of what we've already noticed. Who we've already recognized. That we have already called for his kingdom. That we've already submitted to his rulership and his will. And so we say give us in a humble recognition that we have not earned what we're asking for. Because what we receive from God is a gift from God. Amen.
Amen.
Recognize what you have from God is a gift from God. You haven't earned them. See, because here on earth, a good parent likes to give his babies, his children, what they don't deserve as well, right? Kids don't earn what you give to them, right? But you love them. And you want the best for them. You can do that on a level of being a holy, perfect God. And he wants to bless his people. See, God is under no obligation to bless anyone physically, financially. However, he wants to bless his people. Get your finger in Psalms 37, if you turn over there with me. As David writes this whole chapter, we're not going to look at the whole chapter. Writes to believers. He's going to speak of a loving God taking care of his people in Psalms, verse 30, or chapter 37. You got to go down to verse 4 where we'll start as he's talking to those who have placed their trust upon God. And he tells you, delight thyself also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He says, listen, if you delight in God and his love and his character and his people, his ways and his words, that's going to change your heart. It's going to change your desires because you've committed yourself to him and his ways. Then watch how he blesses. He's going to give the desires of your heart because your heart has been changed to one of the things of God, the things that honor him. Jonathan, we want to claim the second half of this verse about the first half. God has given a desire for my heart. No, he says what? He says, if you will delight thyself in him, if your heart is transformed. But David continues as he tells you, listen, you delight in God. He's going to give you desires of your heart. He continues, go down to verse 25 and look there. As David is older in age now, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. God never forsakes his people. Now, not speaking of those who just simply claim him. Too many even within the church of God claim to be of God, but they don't follow him. They don't fear the Lord. They're not obedient to his word. There's no relationship with him. They just put a tag on saying, I'm of God, so therefore he must bless me. No. He's not the ones that delight in him, enjoy and love a relationship with him. He says he blesses them. Now, it might not be in the blessed way that you want, but he blesses you to fulfill his purpose. And we're going to see that a little bit later. Those who walk with him regularly and those that walk in his righteousness. And then David finishes this chapter, but not in verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. God loves to help those who trust him. So praying, God, give me, is a humble heart saying, I trust you to provide as my loving Father. I trust you. I trust you and I call out to you. And so go back to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll continue here. So give me is a petition of coming to the Lord humbly saying, I know I don't deserve it, but I know you love me. As we talked about being able to call him Father a few weeks ago. That's a comfort as being called the creator of all universe. Father, isn't it? Again, that's only if you come in the name of Jesus Christ. You place your faith in him. So first we approach him as our loving Father and ask, give me. And then he teaches us a continued faith. Notice that the prayer does not say, God, give me a bunch, or load me up, let me be comfortable and have no worries. In our culture, we're busy. We're trying to save up for the future, right? Savings accounts, retirement, stocks, buying things that are going to gain value so I can sell them later and be comfortable. To know that we're safe in the future, yeah? Am I right? Am I right?
Right.
That's our culture today. That's where we're at. And that's okay. I'm not saying blow your money and trust Jesus. Be wise with your spending. And this is okay to save money and invest in retirements. But the problem is it can easily become our comfort zone. What we trust and where we place our faith. And when that comfort zone starts to deplete, what happens? We start becoming anxious and worried. And don't know where things are coming from. If you notice here that Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily. Notice here, this day our daily. Notice we're not taught to pray for abundance and for the future, but to pray for the current need. What's going on now? And if you notice in Matthew chapter 6, go all the way down to verse 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. First thing about tomorrow, you got to realize you may not be there. Christ to forgive you of your sins, to wash you clean, in other words, to make you righteous and holy.
Right.
Are you ready? The second thing to recognize is you're going to have more needs by before tomorrow gets here. You want abundance now, you don't know what your need is going to be in a couple days. You can promise you're going to be surprised at some of the stuff coming up. I hate to break it to you, tomorrow's got its own problems, right?
Amen.
You think you're going through a hard time right now. Maybe God's just preparing you for what the future holds. So remember, God already knows what you're going to need. He's already told us he knows every one of our needs. Prayer is not about giving God information. We thought about that before. You're going to shout God off the throne. God, you know what I did today? Do tell. It's not about information. It's about intimacy with God. God already knows what's going on. He just wants you to be dependent on him. In 1 Timothy 6:17, tells us this, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, if God gives us plenty, we become comfortable and we start depending on those things, on those items, those riches. Remember a man that was making tons of money at a certain job he had, so he started living lavishly, had a large house, multiple cars, living off his income. And he lost that job that he could never get again, a job like that. What happened? He was desperate. He put everything in his faith, and that job was always going to be there. Very dangerous that we get comfortable with having access in this world. We become complacent and often forget who blessed us. America has been blessed by God for years. Blessings above our blessings. Our nation has... We gave to the gospel work around the world. We set our laws according to God's laws. God blessed us in huge ways. We had churches all over, and they kind of... You woke up expecting people were going to church that day. Right? Yep. Some of y'all can remember some of those days. Gary, you remember? Moses was there, wasn't he? No. I'm sorry. You remember the fire of the Chiefs last week? We made fun of the Chiefs. He started it. I'm sorry, but I love you.
I love you too. Go Pack.
Last decades, as we have seen God bless our nation, we've seen his hand of blessing also, I believe, slowly depart. You become comfortable in the blessings, and we start to forget the blesser. We start ignoring his laws, and we call evil good and good evil.
Right.
He can pass laws that it's okay to kill an innocent little baby. With sexual immorality is accepted because that's what you choose. When corruption is just a normal day in our government. Amen?
That's right.
And we've seen God take his hand of blessing further and further. Because remember who he wants to bless? Those who have faith in him. See, why would God bless when we forgot him and we stopped worshiping the blesser and we worship the blessings? See, that's why God says, you worry about your daily provision. You trust me daily because I don't want you to become complacent on your stuff, on the blessings. And he says, give us this day our daily needs. If you remember the Jews in the Old Testament, they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. They were God's chosen people. He wanted to use them in great and awesome ways. But they're wandering in the desert because they didn't want to obey him.
Right.
He sent them to do a scary deal. Now, will he take care of them, provide for them? Yeah, he did. He gave them what's called manna. It's like cake from heaven. It's like a sweet wafer is a description of it in Scripture. Exodus explains it even deeper, that that tasty food. But he said, only collect enough for that one day.
Right.
Only enough for that one day. You know, if they were to start to wonder, well, if there's none down here tomorrow, let's get a little extra and just for tomorrow, you know what happened? At a certain time of day, it would melt and turn to maggots, and the stench would go through the house. It was obvious they did not trust the God because of the stench, the reek that came out of their, I said, house, their tents. The maggots that would spread, why? Because they did not trust God with their tomorrow.
Right.
They wanted abundance right now. They didn't want to trust God for the later. Said, but what if God forgets? What if God can't? What if he's busy? See, God's point to them is, I want you to trust me with your tomorrow. I will take care of it. I already know your needs. I don't want you distracted or comfortable. I don't want you to forget. He says, I love you and I will provide for you. Always wondered why I'm not one of those rich millionaires. God, why didn't you make me one of them? That'd be kind of cool. You know why? God said, because you can't handle it.
Amen.
Amen.
You get so focused on your stuff that you wouldn't see a need to daily fall on your knees and beg me for direction. And trust me, as pastor, half the time I don't have a clue what I'm doing. That's what I'm praying about, Lord. I don't know what to do next. There's Sundays that I'm prepping for Sunday, and I don't know what my next sermon's going to be. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I promise you, I went into the office on this sermon. I said, this is going to be like 5 minutes, Lord. How do I pray? And then he starts studying. And God starts giving. And we still got about a half hour worth of sermon. Some of y'all are like, oh, no, I'm just kidding. We're almost there. You see, God really wants you to trust him with your tomorrow. And I'll tell you this, if you don't trust him with you today, you ain't going to trust him with you tomorrow. Start right now. But notice the request. Daily bread. Yeah? Daily bread. So the third point here is the basic need. Why would you ask for bread? That's just my question. Jesus, why couldn't you say, Lord, give us this day our daily steak? Because I'm a meat guy. Buddy with me? Yeah? I'll give you my bread for your steak. That's a deal, man. I tried when I was in school, high school, man, I tried to trade a lot of food. I'm good because I can't afford that stuff. In Psalms 50, verse 10, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Guess what? God has the meat that I want. He can give me a steak. Amen? However, but this prayer, this sample prayer Jesus has given to us, is speaking of our attitude. We need a grateful attitude, knowing that bread in and of itself is a blessing. Anything else is a bonus from God.
Right.
To truly appreciate what God gives us, we've got to remember why he gives it to us. Why would he even give us bread? Now listen to this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward is one that's put in charge of another man's goods. See, everything God blesses you with is his, to be used for his glory. So if that be finances, your abilities, your wisdom, your popularity, your personality, he's given you that, you with me? For his glory.
Amen.
Not for your own. Tony Evans says this, God doesn't establish a program that he doesn't fund. God has a purpose in you, and he's going to fund that program through you. So by asking for bread, we're asking God to simply give us what we need to fulfill his purpose in us. If you remember John the Baptist, what's he famous for eating?
Locust
and honey. Mm-mm-mm. It's when toothpicks were invented. Get those legs out of your teeth. He was known for wearing camel skins, very comfortable. As he's baptizing people, so he's wet, it dries, it stiffens. So he had no comfort in life, no luxury. Everything he did in his life was so that he could get busy calling people to repentance. He didn't need an apostle clothes. He didn't need a stake. He just needed to be covered and have enough energy to go preach again. So he'd hurry up and go dip some grasshoppers in some honey. And, oh, I'm good to go now. And he'd go preach again. He just preached, God, give unto me a locust and honey today so I can preach some more. Lord, my camel skin is getting worn out. He just wondered what he needed in order to preach what an example to us. Imagine if our prayer was, God, please just give me bread. Just whatever I need to fulfill your purpose. If you would, one last verse, and I'm going to close here. I'm going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. And I'm not going to break this down a lot. I don't think it needs a lot. Proverbs chapter 30. I know I cheated. I didn't put it on the board. God has given us plenty to be enjoyed, and he wants us to enjoy and appreciate if we walk with him in faith. But he doesn't want us to have an abundance that will distract us. Here's a good example by a guy with another cool name, Tango. In Proverbs chapter 30, go down to verse 7. And listen to this prayer. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This is a deep prayer of intimacy with God. Lord, remove from me, take away from me anything that will hurt my relationship with you. Amen. You pray that? It's hard. Lord, my brand new car gets in your way. Take it away from me. If my collections get in your way, if my craft get in your way, if my job is in your way, give me a different job. Imagine that prayer. What's God going to knock out of some of our lives if we're sincere and say, God, have your way. Just remove from me any lies, any flatteries, any false teachings. So I can just be intimate, know you. Lord, please don't give me too much. Now, there's a prayer that's hard for us, ain't it? He says, Lord, don't give me too much. He says, remove far from me vanities. Wow. Have you ever said that? Lord, oh, he's up, Lord, I'm getting too much money here. No, never a prayer, was it? He says, remove from me too much because I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to become proud. I don't want to become so busy with things of this world that I ignore the things that are eternal, that the things you tell me are important, God. Lord, give me what you think is best for me. I said, feed me with food, convenient. For me. Says, God, you know what is best for me. All I ask is don't let me starve to death, but give me just enough that I'll live a life that honors you. I'll live a life that every day I'll wake up and say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Give me just enough that, Lord, I have to come before you. Rarely do we ask God to give us less, but sometimes to fulfill his purpose, we need to get rid of excess in our life. Junk. And we must recognize why God gave it to us in the first place. What we have is for his glory. We are only stewards. stewards. We talked about that as far as our children before. Why has he given them to us? So that we are stewards of his children, to raise them up for his glory and for his word. And so let me ask you, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, are you saying, God, I'm trusting you with today, and I'm worried about tomorrow? Will you talk to me? If there's somewhere else than where I'm placing my faith, will you remove it from me? Will you do that sincerely, though? Will you sincerely say, God, I want such intimacy with you that you will remove anything that's between you and I? I want you to remove anything that steals your glory. I want you to remove anything that steals my faith in you. And Lord, give me what you think is convenient for me, and I will praise you and thank you for that, even if it's just bread. Would you stand with me? Stan, I want to remind you, the first request that any of us should ever make to God is, God, save me. God, save me. We need to come to a recognition that we need Jesus Christ, his holy blood on that cross, to forgive us from our sins so that we can have a personal relationship with a holy God. And that's when you can call him Abba, because he adopts you by the blood of Jesus as his own child. After that, our prayers should grow to be, God, use me. Use me, God. Where are you in your walk with Christ? If it hasn't begun, if you've never had that time that you say, God, I need your salvation, I'd love to show you in God's word how you can be saved. Step out in private. Quickly show you, because he's made it simple for us. He recognized your sinfulness, and he sent the payment on the cross, Jesus Christ. And when you'll trust the work of Jesus Christ and call on his name for salvation, he brings you into his family. And he will turn your life around in a great way. If you're already a child of God, are you trusting him on a day to day? Are you praying, God, thy will be done? Take from me anything that doesn't fulfill your will. Are you that intimate with God? Are you that serious in a relationship? That's hard to pray. You know what? God blesses in such a way when we start trusting him. It's baby steps. Then you can trust him a little more and a little more. Before you know it, he's doing things you never thought God would do for your life. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. I ask that you put your hand on each person in this room. As we have a time of invitation, if there's someone in this room that's never called upon your name for salvation, Lord, this they can be bold and know they can call upon you because you have called them to yourself. Lord, I ask that you bring humility to each one of our hearts, that we'd approach your throne with the desire to let you work in us, that everything we have would be about bringing glory to you. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this time of invitation, that we would humble ourselves and let you lift us up in your time. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your love given to us on that cross. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Heads bowed, nice clothes, piano playing. Will you step out of where you're at? Will you step forward and humbly pray to God, who calls you to prayer? He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. Will you pray? Lord, thank you for the way you bless. Thank you for the way you provide. Thank you for letting me be your child. Lord, what do you want me to give up? Lord, how do you want me to use what you've given me? Will you humble yourself? Will you step out of where you're at? Will you pray for this coming week? How's God going to work in your life? Feel a tug in your heart, and you need to pray, you answer to God, and you humble yourself.